You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's the Score North Twin Show.
Gentlemen, I believe we are pretty much at the exact halfway point of spring training here, because it was like Valentine's week, 2 weeks before the end of February, right? Now we're a week into March, and we've got 3 weeks until
opening
the first
day, right?
Games. And we had our first round of cuts yesterday.
We did.
At Twins camp.
We did.
Just a sad day. It's always a sad day when you got to go through and tell Randy Dobnak.
Love when
Randy Dobnak's doing fine financially, but
you finally move those like lockers that they stick, you know, like in the really
extra
weird
ones.
Places.
Yeah.
Like they got them in the middle of the clubhouse down there. They just finally get moved out. I love it when they start making cuts.
So yeah, the twins. Randy Dobnak was, and these are all like all the guys who were cut. It's not really cut. Like they're just. These are the non-roster
just
invites,
across the parking lot.
Right, they're still in the organization. But Aaron Sabato, former first-round pick, a name that people might recognize. Ryan Jensen was the former first-rounder from the Cubs. Right, they claimed off waivers, but then they waived him and kept him in the organization. If I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So the spring roster is at 50 active players in camp, and 11 of them are non-roster invites. So we're working our way down, massaging this thing down to a 26-man roster, boys.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And Dex has brought to the table today two different lineups. It's our second crack at projected lineups, or third crack. It's a 3.0,
right? 3.0.
Can we call this a mock?
Sure.
I want a mock!
Mock! Mock lineups?
Yeah. So here's what I've been doing. This started as an exercise when they didn't do anything, and my first lineup included a lineup without Jorge Polanco and Max Kepler, because we were just assuming both were going to be traded. And then I gave you a lineup, I think, early on into spring training, maybe even like right when they reported of what I thought it would look like. And now this is the 3.0. And I just want to reiterate, this is what Declan would do if he was running the opening day lineup. This is not what I think Rocco Baldelli will do. In fact, okay. I think.
So you think you're smarter than a major league manager?
So Buxton is still buried. Buxton's like.
Buxton's batting 12th.
Is that batting 10th. Yeah, he's the extra guy.
he's in the 11 hole for this Twins lineup.
I'll say this. I think the next one I do will be under the prism of Rocco Baldelli.
Okay. But yeah, this is Declan's time
this
right now.
This is Declan's lineup.
This is
okay,
the Dexter's time.
I got my stirrups on. I'm listening to Fish in the locker room. Let me run the Twins for a little bit, okay? Let me put on some Grateful Dead. Hey, Joe Ryan, come in here. Let's hang out for a little bit, okay? So I have a right-handed lineup and a left-handed lineup, just like I did last time. Yes, there has been some changes, some tweaks here and there to both of these lineups to a degree. So let's start with the right-handed lineup.
And before we dive into these lineups, a shout-out and a thank you, guys. So we announced earlier this week that we are launching a third YouTube channel at Score North, the Score North Twin Show YouTube channel. And you've already pushed it to 600 subscribers just in the first couple of days. We haven't even posted an episode. Starting next week, this might actually wind up being today the last Score North Twin Show that will be on the Score North channel. Starting next week, all of these episodes, you'll still find them in the same audio feed. So Apple, Spotify, Score North Twin Show, that's not going to change. But the YouTube version of this show is going to be available only on the Score North Twin Show YouTube channel starting next week. Mm-hmm. So you can find, there's just a direct link on the homepage of the Purple Daily and Score North YouTube channels. You can just click on the Score North Twin Show, subscribe right there. Mm-hmm. Or you can put in the YouTube search bar, Score North Twin Show. I believe you can also just go youtube.com/@ScoreNorthTwinShow. And you can find it that way too. But yeah, 600 subscribers in like 48 hours, just you guys jumping on board. So we're looking to build a third YouTube channel with the start of this twin season. We're super excited. So
yeah, it's in the bio of this, of all of our videos right now too, on both channels. There's no way you can possibly miss it. And then once it populates, yes, like those videos, it'll help obviously people be able to find it as well. So we appreciate everyone that's been able to do it so far, and go ahead and hit that subscribe button for all the Twins coverage you want. Okay, let's actually, I should get the fitting music, right?
Oh, here we go.
May as well.
Let's go. Maya Mackey's very excited for this too.
Is it
CBS, right?
Outside this door.
Major League theme. This is from the movie, right? Major League?
The movie, this is from the movie Major League. Yeah, it's like one of the, it's like the workout song.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Okay.
Right-handed lineup versus right-handed pitching, a right-handed starter. Okay. We'll start with this one. Haven't changed from this at all from the leadoff spot. Edward Julian will lead off and play second base.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, he had a jack yesterday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
He did. 7-1 over Boston.
Batting second.
Jack.
Royce Lewis at third base. So I have mostly kept Lewis in the second or third spot against right-handed pitching.
Okay.
But Royce Lewis will bat second, followed by Carlos Correa at shortstop.
Look at this. Wow.
C4 will move up a little bit here to the third spot. If that plantar fasciitis is gone and he's the player he was with the Astros, and you get playoff version of Carlos Correa in the regular season, obviously you're talking about one of the best players in baseball. So he'll bat third in this opening day lineup. Batting fourth, Max Kepler. Again, if we're facing a right-handed pitcher, he mashes right-handed pitching. Second half last year, Max Kepler was super max. Are you going to get that over the full season? We'll see. But I do have Max Kepler batting fourth and in right field.
Yeah, it's, man, he's one of the biggest, most interesting cases this year, because the first 2 months of last year, I think everyone was done with him. I think people internally were done with him.
At least.
He was unplayable.
Yeah.
You know, his contract was getting toward the end, and then he became the best hitter in the lineup for like 2 months until, like, Royce Lewis was in the mix as the best hitter too, but he carried that lineup for like 2.5, maybe 3 months. But he's got to give you some level of, Brian Dozier was kind of like this for seasons, where he would just be unplayable for like 2 months, and then he'd be the best hitter in baseball for like 2 months. Just a little consistency would be nice.
All right, batting fifth and in center field, Byron Buxton.
Okay.
So if Buck is healthy, he's in a good headspace, he's starting to get his bat underneath him.
Yeah,
very, very good piece from Bobby Nightingale on the whole process of what Byron Buxton was going through last year, where he was like collapsing, trying to run backwards. He was in insane pain. He was going from the batter's box to the treadmill back into the batter's box. The dude had a crazy knee issue. He's had crazy knee issues. It's nothing new. But if he is indeed healthy, and we're all systems go here, Byron Buxton, I believe, will bat fifth in center field.
By the way, after reading that story, and yes, Byron Buxton needs to play the outfield, okay? I'm not debating that. But the narrative has been, well, as a DH, he wasn't that good. Like, what was wrong with him as a DH? Bobby Nightingale's story, he couldn't hit because he basically couldn't stand up.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not.
That's wild.
I'm not saying he shouldn't play center. I am saying I think we put our, well, he's not a good DH. He must not, like, because you thought, okay, mentally he goes and sits on the bench and thinks about it, or he goes and takes BP and it's just, you know, hit, hit, hit. Well, the reality is, like, the guy could barely function.
I know.
Yeah.
Which worries me a lot, by the way, still. Not gonna lie.
Well, it bothers me, I think, the way that people characterize, and Maurer was the same way. People think that these guys are like soft or have like low pain tolerance or something. You know, these guys fragile. These guys, I mean, define fragile. I guess if a guy is injury prone and suffers a lot of injuries, okay, maybe you could equate the word fragile. But these guys are tough. Like Joe Maurer was tough, man. That dude played through so much discomfort and pain. Catcher for 10 years, yeah. And Buxton's out there and. The story from, if you haven't read it, StarTribune.com, Bobby Nightingale did a great job. It's, I don't know how you can't feel bad. I know a lot of fans are frustrated, and it's been the most incredible what if career maybe in Twins history. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how you can't feel bad for the guy. If people get mad at him, like he's busting his ass, man. He's any procedure that's available any offseason, he's trying it, right? And he's coming back. So I hope this is the year, but history speaks pretty loudly, so we'll see. Okay, who's batting sixth against righty?
Okay, batting sixth. I have been
good stuff here.
I have been sour on him, but he matches right-handed pitching, Alex Kirilloff, and he'll be DHing obviously in this mock lineup. So Alex Kirilloff batting sixth at DH. Aaron Gleeman of the Athletic did a big platoon split piece. Why do teams platoons up? Platoon, that's a video game. Why do teams platoon so much against lefty right-handed pitching? Well, it's because it historically works. That's it also works. Why. There's not really a big crazy secret about that, but it was a pretty cool piece to see the crazy differences, especially when lefties are facing lefties versus righties. So
yeah, the more it's tricky because the more that you can, now there's some players and pitchers that have reverse splits, but the majority of lefties and righties sort of mirror each other in terms of success. So if the more that you can swap out lefty on lefty at bats for righty on lefty at bats, the better your lineup is going to be. But your lineup is capped at usually it's 26 overall players, right? Like 13 position players, maybe. So it's not like you can have an equal number of lefties and righties, and it's not like line changes in hockey. Plus, pitchers can come in at different parts in the game. So there are some guys in this lineup, Julian and Kirilloff are the most notable, that you will need them to at some point hit left-handed pitching so that they can be in the lineup on a regular basis, regardless of who they're facing.
And you also don't want to get played and worked, which Baldelli has been. Like, if you go with an opener, you know, it's a righty. And then in the second, it's a lefty, and you're like, okay, I got to take all my lefties out. You just got worked.
Yep.
And now you're thin the rest of the day. And
then they're going to go back to a righty, and it's going to be, I wish I had my lefties. That's the only frustration, I think.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, three more spots left in this batting order. Batting seventh, Ryan Jeffers at catcher. Great year for Ryan Jeffers. If there weren't other great mashers, maybe Jeffers does hit higher in this order. But you know what? Batting seventh is a luxury, I think, for him and for the Twins at this point. So Ryan Jeffers will be your opening day catcher, and he will bat seventh in this mock lineup.
Yeah.
Batting eighth, Matt Wallner in left field. I have been all over the place on where Matt Wallner fits into this lineup. I've had him batting as high as second. I've had him batting as high as fourth. I've had him fifth last time. Now he's eighth. I don't know. You could put him fourth. You could put him sixth. You could put him eighth. Where do you want to put the guy? He did destroy right-handed pitching in a small sample size last year. I don't know. I think by other veteran players getting probably the benefit of the doubt more, maybe Matt Wallner starts lower, but he could very well move up. I'm not like married to the fact he has to bat eighth.
He's not going to bat in the top part of this order with all these names that you've already gone through. Like, there's even against right-handed pitching. And I don't think this matters much, but he only has one hit in 3 weeks of spring training so far, like 2 weeks of spring training games. He's off to a slow start, small sample size. He's only played like five games or six games. But I would just prepare Twins fans and Declan, because you're a Matt
like
Wallner stan, I feel
I am.
Like.
Yep, and, I'm a Wallner stan, that's for sure.
And he's a big-time talent, man. Like, he's tall, he can hit the ball a mile, and he has clearly produced early in his major league career. But teams now have a full year and a lot of information on him, and sometimes these lefties get exposed after like 300 or 400 plate appearances. The league kind of catches up. So I'm not saying his career is going to take a turn and it's never going to come back. I'm just saying be a little careful with lefties that come out great gangbusters in their first, 50 or 80 games. There might be a downturn. It might even involve Matt Wallner playing for the St. Paul Saints at some point. Just monitor it. That's all I'm saying, right?
And I believe it was, there was a report, I forget which outlet, earlier this week, Alex Kirilov has been told, go work in the outfield.
So they're kind of preparing
I think they see some Wallner regression.
A lot of strikeouts.
Or yeah. They simply might be afraid about Kepler, too. To the earlier point about the splits, the ups and downs. So,
or they really like Carlos Santana at first base defensively, and they want another place for Kirilov's bat to be. So there's
exactly.
So just I don't know. I think I like Wallner too, but I don't think you can say all right because he was awesome in 75 games last year. You can for sure plug him in for 35 home runs and a 900 OPS.
Right.
There might be some regression.
All right, rounding out the order, batting ninth, switch hitting Carlos Santana at first base. So,
yeah.
Again, this is another guy you can fit a lot of different places. I will say he gets on base and he's better against left-handed pitching as a switch hitter. Against right-handed pitching, he does have a little bit more pop. There's an infinite spots of possibilities, in my opinion, with Carlos Santana here. I could fit him in a lot of different spots, but I think also going from a switch hitter into your lefty Julian from turning around the order also gives you plenty of flexibility to if you want to do a pinch hitting situation or if a lefty or righty comes in. So I have Carlos Santana batting ninth. So from top to bottom, Edward Julian at second, Royce Lewis at third, Carlos Correa batting third at short, Max Kepler batting fourth in right field, Byron Buxton batting fifth in center, Alex Kirilov batting sixth at DH, Ryan Jeffers catching batting seventh, Matt Wallner batting eighth in left field, and Carlos Santana at first base, rounding out the order.
Yo, that's pretty good.
I'll tell you what, man. And you're going to face 70 to 75% right-handed pitching. So this is going to be the lineup that's out there if Declan is close to correct here more often. And I know this is not how it works, as evidenced by our conversation about Matt Wallner 2 seconds ago. But if you get the best version or close to it of everyone in this lineup, whoo, boy.
Yeah. Pretty damn good.
Now the best version of a 38-year-old Carlos Santana, not 31-year-old, but realistically. But man, if Royce Lewis is in there for 145 games, Carlos Correa without the foot problem anymore,
everyone's healthy. What's your best guess about Dex where Rocco disagrees with you the most?
I would say,
because this seems pretty solid to me, to be honest.
I don't know, man. I would maybe Carlos Santana up a notch or two, but
yeah, maybe. Maybe Buxton. Maybe Buxton does bat in the top three. The thing too with Buxton. Buxton's never been an on-base guy. He's never been an on-base guy. Even at his peak of powers, he is power. He just hits bombs. He hits so many bombs. So I'd rather have him batting fifth if other OBP guys can get on in front of him, right? I mean, I think that just makes more sense to do, but no,
you could actually make a case to flip Kirilov and Buxton, because Kirilov against righties is more of an on-base guy, so he could be setting the table for some of those buck bombs.
You would have lefty-lefty in that situation, not that that's a complete deal-breaker, but I think I'll send this to Rocco at One Twins Way right now. Here's your opening day line. I just took care of it for you, Rocco. Here you go.
There it is. Okay. All right. What about against left-handed pitching?
All right. Against left-handed pitching, a little bit of a different lineup here. Guys in different spots all over the place to a degree. I'm sticking with Kyle Farmer batting leadoff and playing second base for right now.
Wait. Kyle Farmer batting leadoff?
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I've had Farmer batting leadoff in all of these mock lineups against left-handed pitching. He actually hits very well against left-handed pitching. He could bat in the middle of the order, to be honest, batting against left-handed pitching. He hits lefties really well. So I have him batting leadoff and at second base, giving Julian a day off here.
So, yeah, Kyle Farmer against left-handed pitching in his career, very solid, 825 career OPS compared to 657 against right-handed. And that's where, yeah, I mean, it's like I just did a double take, but the Kyle Farmer against left-handed pitching is very different than the Kyle Farmer against right-handed pitching. So
I did a lot of different mocks here. I just nailed down one here. So I was overthinking myself last night. I spent way more time on this one than I did in the other. Batting second, though, Carlos Santana. So I move up Carlos Santana to the second spot as a switch hitter. Carlos Santana versus left-handed pitching last season, especially an 800 OPS, gets on base a ton. So I have Carlos Santana moving up a little bit and going from righty-righty, basically, to start this lineup.
At first base?
At first base, too. Yep, sorry. Carlos Santana, first base. Batting third, Carlos Correa at short. So I have Correa batting short, who has historically mashed left-handed pitching. The only thing that is worrisome of me of these first three guys is these are a lot of flat-footed dudes at the top of your order, especially Carlos Santana. I worry a little bit about moving guys around to a degree, but I mean these are also pretty good hitters, so that's the only thing I struggle with a little bit.
So I think you're working a little too hard to move Royce Lewis out of the top three here. That's okay. My initial take.
Okay, so
I think you're overthinking it with Royce Lewis here.
I'm being patient here.
Okay,
I'm waiting to hear what you're going to do.
So I went back to, because I believe the Twins have only faced two left-handed starters in their spring training games this season, and it was on back-to-back situation against the Phillies and Yankees. They faced Nestor Cortez with the Yankees. They faced someone with the Phillies. And I believe Royce Lewis was batting cleanup in, like, both of those spots. So I went a little bit off what they're doing in spring training to a degree, and I have Royce Lewis batting fourth at cleanup, playing third base in this lineup against left-handed pitching. So that was my.
I mean, I guess
there.
the guy that's an automatic grand slam batting cleanup.
That's also true.
A terrible thing.
Santana second. I agree. That concerns me a bit so far. So, like, he gets on base, but you're right. That's three guys in Santana at this point in his career. I don't know about that one, but
here's where you could probably flip. Because I have right now Byron Buxton DHing and batting fifth. You could make a case. I could switch those two. I could go.
Yeah, so Buck is going to take some DH days then, okay?
Yep. So I have Buxton against lefties taking a DH day.
You suck as a DH. Okay.
So he bats fifth in this lineup. Batting sixth, Ryan Jeffers at catcher still. And you could mix in Vasquez. Ryan Jeffers is right now a far superior hitter to Vasquez.
I think let's get Jair in the mix. Screw Vasquez.
Homer yesterday.
All due respect.
Yeah. He looks
good. Jair did.
You want to talk about spring training overreactions? He has a 1,200 OPS
in
13 at bats. 13 at bats.
That can be your overreaction.
It's so fun to look at 20 at bats in spring training and be like, oh my God. Julian has a 1,239 OPS. Let's go.
All right. Jeffers.
Batting seventh, the newly acquired Manny Margot in center field.
Oh, yeah.
So here comes the newly acquired Manuel Margot. It gives Buxton an off day from the field to a degree. Get Manny Margot in the lineup. He'll bat seventh in this situation. Max Kepler will bat eighth. They still bat Kepler against lefties. They have given him the benefit of the doubt. That could still change. Maybe they put in Wallner or Kirloff in those situations sometimes too. But they have historically given Kepler still the benefit of the doubt against lefties, even though he has still really struggled against lefties. But I do have him batting lower in the order, batting eighth.
Something else you could do, just I don't think you would do this all the time, but you could have Buxton in center field and Manuel Margot in a corner spot,
yep.
and then sit Max Kepler. Sure now you could. got two rangy outfielders and two right-handed hitters.
But you're right, lefties. Buck does have to, like, he's going to sit or DH.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah,
it's probably plausible because there ain't no way. Like, if Buck gets to 100 games, we should all throw a parade.
Mm-hmm.
So,
agreed.
I don't disagree with what you're trying to manipulate here from the lineup either.
All right, batting ninth, Willie Castro in left field.
All right, let's go, Billy. Bill.
Rocco, stand by.
Bill Castro.
Willie Castro, love him.
There's a lot of crazy options that they have, you know, to our point right there of what they want to do in the corner spots. You know, they have Castro, they have Kirloff, they have Wallner, they have Kepler. Margot can play a lot of different spots. Buxton isn't, I don't think, going anywhere from center field. He's not going to play right or left unless something gets really weird. But yeah, that would be my lineup against left-handed pitching. So Kyle Farmer leading off at second base, Carlos Santana batting second at first base, Carlos Correa batting third at short, Royce Lewis batting third at cleanup, Byron Buxton remaining in the fifth spot, but at DH, Ryan Jeffers catching at six, Manny Margot at seven playing center field, Max Kepler in right batting eighth, and Willie Castro batting ninth in left field.
Okay.
3.0.
Okay.
There's your 3.0.
Okay.
That's good. I would flip. I think I agree with your analysis of potentially flipping Buxton and Santana.
Yeah.
I could see that, but I overall like this. I think it's pretty solid.
The Farmer thing, like, I did a spit take at first because, like, Kyle Farmer? But you're 100% right about Kyle Farmer versus left-handed pitching. You could put him up there, and he's good against left-handed pitching. I would move – what I would just do is I'd move Royce Lewis up to the two. He would just be my number two hitter in pretty much all situations.
Sure.
And I would either move Carlos Santana to the cleanup or move Buxton up to four and Santana five. But well done, Declan.
Thank you.
And when you lay these lineups out, too, it's like they're going to hit.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
they're going to hit the baseball, boy.
October baseball's back.
Yeah, do we even need to play these next 6 months? Feels like a formality to me. Let's just fast forward.
Can they beat the Yankees? That's the only question again. Can they beat the Yankees?
Yeah, that was my shining moment as a Twins beat writer. Heading into the two. I was sitting at the airport in Fort Myers after a month and a half of living in Florida, covering spring training, 2011.
Yep.
Nishioka with his posse. They got this new flashy shortstop.
Marlboro Red.
The only question left is, can they beat the Yankees in October? We don't even need to play the next 6 months.
Guardy, can you do it? Can you not get too uptight?
The answer was no, they could not. So, all right, let us know in the comment section, too, maybe of the new Score North YouTube channel. Let us know what you think about. Well, we're going to, I guess, post this video on the old current Score North channel. You can hit us up on that one, too. But subscribe to the new Score North YouTube channel. Judd, that's you. Go ahead. Click subscribe on the Score North YouTube channel.
Hold on. I'm nervous. I'm not sure I should.
Score North Twin Show YouTube channel. So, all right, Declan has a random Twin of the Week here, I believe, for us. It's a tight race. We've done 31 all-time random Twin of the Week every Thursday here on the show. Declan has 11 wins all-time, leading all of us. Judd has 10. I have 10. So someone, unless we completely train wreck like the David Blau edition of Purple Daily last week.
You know what? It can happen.
We do have a new rule, though. If we get to the end of the clues,
Whoever has
the clues, just start spelling the name out, and then whoever shouts the answer.
I'm not sure I would call that awesome, but it was unique.
I thought it was awesome. I thought it was a lot of fun.
That's because you were trying to guess David Blau.
David Blau. So, okay, I'm on a two-game winning streak after, like, 16 consecutive losses.
That's right.
Roy Smalley, Brian Buescher, Joe Creedy, Darren Mastriani, and Mike Pelfrey are the last handful of random Twins. The Pelfster.
Mastriani, our buddy.
So Dex has a series of clues. Judd and I will shout out guesses competing against each other. If one of us hits a third strike, a third incorrect guess, that person's eliminated. The other one wins automatically. So be careful. No Googling.
All right. This random Twin of the Week is a Midwest guy. Born in the Midwest. Spent the majority of his career in the Midwest.
Oh. Okay, born and career.
Born and career. This random Twin of the Week committed 8 errors in his major league career.
Which could either be really good or really bad, depending on how long he If it's David Blau, it's really bad.
Kind of narrows down a couple things. Yeah.
Okay.
This random twin of the week has two career home runs.
Interesting.
I think I might know where you're going. I think I might see direction already.
This random twin of the week. Not a lot of tweets between you two. In fact, there's next to none. I did a search bar with your guys' handle. This random tweet, random twin of the week's last name into Twitter for both your handles. Next to no tweets.
Like, next to no tweets or?
Next to no tweets. There's some people that replied asking or like saying your opinion on things, but you can do, you know, latest of whatnot.
Yeah,
Judd has like from his Twitter account tweeted his name, according from the Jay Zolgad Twitter account, just once. Phil doesn't have a single tweet with this guy's last name.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We can rule out some years there, probably. I think. I don't know. Maybe this is taking a different twist.
This random twin of the week played in 13 seasons in the big leagues. 13-year major league career.
Okay, now it's crystallized completely. I've got the position down.
The two teams he spent the majority of his career with, talking about the Midwest, were the Cubs and the Twins.
So I'm trying to think, is this just a really under-the-radar obscure player that we never tweeted about, or is it an older player that we would not have had Twitter during their career and no reason to tweet about later? Just thinking out loud. So many Cub twin connections too.
Yeah, this is interesting. It might not be what I thought, so I'm now. I'm now opening that and writing down names arbitrarily.
This clue tends to skew more towards Phil, but it might still help out Judd.
No,
this
thanks for screwing me.
This random twin of the week has a career WAR of 29. Wins above replacement 29.2 in his 13-year career. Oh, here's a fun fact about this random twin of the week. He wore five different numbers, but all of them ended in six. Some combination with it ending in six.
Is it Kevin Tappany? Yeah. Oh, let's
I thought of this.
Let's
I should have said it.
Dude.
I thought of this.
Come on.
Damn it. I'm kicking myself.
Coming to my house. Come into my house.
Oh, another
Kevin Tappany.
I thought of that because I think he was 36 here.
He crossed your mind. The number did nothing for me because I'm terrible with numbers, but I was trying to think of twin Cub pitchers that we wouldn't have tweeted much about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we like any player from 2005 going forward, we would have tweeted something about, right?
I should have said it. All right. Yep. Okay. I'm
so
done.
You thought Kevin Tappany and had three guesses and you didn't guess Kevin Tappany.
I was trying to wait it out a little bit.
Got to be aggressive.
Here's a
random twin of the week.
And I was not aggressive enough.
A couple other fun facts. He actually pitched in three decades. He debuted in 89 and he retired in 2001. So technically three different decades. And his last year in his of his career in 2001 with the Cubs was his strongest strikeouts per nine. He had a strikeouts per nine of 8.0. In that season with the Cubs, where he was just a 5.6 pitcher with the Twins.
The Tapster.
Quite from the Dodgers, right?
The Tapster.
Yeah, Dodgers, Cubs. He did play for the Dodgers and the Mets, but he spent 7 years with the Twins, 5 years with the Cubs, 1 year with the Sox, Sox, that is.
Yeah, that's right. It was the Mets.
So that's and born in Iowa. So that's where the Midwest clue came into play.
I did not know.
There you go. All right, nice work on the clues there. Declan.
Yeah, great. Now, fantastic.
We have a tie. Declan with 11. I have 11. Really Judd has only 10. Judd's in last place.
Why didn't I just guess Kevin Kaplan? I thought of it. I didn't guess it. I'm beating myself up right now.
Why would you have a name in your head with all three guesses available and not fire the name?
Because I was trying. Because I screwed up, okay? I'm kicking myself.
Yeah. All right. We will see you guys next time on the Score North Twin Show.